Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And what better way to bless Him than to think of the grace of God and the gift of His glorious grace, the grandeur of grace. That's the name of the series that we're going through. We looked at what grace is not from the start, so that way we can kind of get that out of the way. And by understanding what something is not, you can better understand what something is. And last week we started defining what grace is, and this week we'll continue that. So why don't we open in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, your grace is grand, and I know that because your grace came to me when I didn't deserve it and changed me when I didn't deserve to be changed. Father in heaven, I look in the mirror and I see the transformation. I look past what I see and I see the inner spirit of your hand of grace that you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sins and the sins of those present. And I just ask you, Father in heaven, that you would come in our midst and help me to proclaim the wonders of your name. Open thou my lips, that my mouth shall speak forth thy praise. And may your grace befall all of us here. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We defined grace as God's free choice to stoop down. And I thought it was necessary to add, in Christ Jesus. God's free choice to stoop down as one superior to one inferior. Free choice to stoop down in Christ Jesus and show favor to sinful mankind. It's undeserved by any of its recipients, and it is for the purpose of glorifying Him. Grace is God's free choice to stoop down in Christ Jesus and show favor to sinful mankind, is undeserved by any of its recipients, and is for the purpose of glorifying Him. And we broke that definition up into four categories. First, God's free choice. Grace is God's free favor. We said from God's conception, from Christ's inception, for our reception, and for others' perception. It rhymes and makes sense, but what does that even mean? We looked and saw that from God's conception, it was in the mind of God. It was free, conceived in His mind for Him to give. It was not any outside coercion. It was by His own free choice. From Christ's inception. So God made this way. He conceived this plan. And in Christ, He came into this world and He became the grace of God. And the Word says the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. This morning we're going to look at undeserved by any of its recipients. Grace is free favor for our reception. We don't deserve it. It's free for us to receive. If you'd open your Bibles, please, to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, and we're going to look at chapter 4, just one verse there. Romans chapter 4, verse 4. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Think about economics. A person takes a chisel and they break into rock. From that rock, they discover a golden substance. Take that golden substance and they put it into through a refining process, and out comes a purified substance that we refer to as gold. This gold is given a measurement of worth, is placed into a treasury. Then another person takes that measurement and they create a unique piece of paper to represent the worth of that gold. The paper doesn't really have any inherent value except maybe its historical value. The paper simply represents the value that has been placed upon the golden purified substance locked away somewhere. Now, I recognize that I'm oversimplifying things. There are a lot more factors involved. But here's the point. Let's take a random person. We'll call him Maximilian, just because it goes. Max lives in an apartment and spends most of his days working at a cheese factory. Why? Why in the world would Max want to spend 8 hours a day, five, sometimes 6 days a week, in a stuffy building wafting with the odor of curds? Because in order for Max to lie down in his bed and sleep at night, he needs to give a landlord some pieces of this paper. And in order for Max to eat a meal 3 times a day, he has to give a grocery store owner some pieces of paper. And in order for Max to wear warm clothes in the winter, he needs to give a retail store owner some pieces of this paper. Max needs somehow to get a hold of this paper that all these people are requesting. One day he found out that a neighbor down the road, Charlie, owns a factory that makes cheese, and told him that if he goes into this factory and spends time helping to make this delicious Wisconsin cheese, Charlie would, in return, give him an agreed amount of this paper. What a deal! Max makes cheese, Charlie gives paper. It is a fair agreement. Max is not obligated to work. But once he does, Charlie is obligated to compensate. And the paper is reckoned as compensation, or a wage. The wages of work is paper. And the paper is earned. This paper drives the world. Millions of people spend a little over 1/5 of their year engaged in some form of work to earn a wage. And when we enter into the economics of theology, so to speak, this paper becomes irrelevant. In fact, you don't want to go there. For example, say Max thinks, I'm spiritually hungry for righteousness. I want spiritual clothes to cover this dying body. I want a spiritual home to live in forever. If Max comes before God and says, I want to do business with you, I will obey your moral laws, your standards, so that you will be glorified. And in return, you'll give me resurrection and righteousness in heaven. And say God agrees. This is what will happen. The next day, Max wakes up. He says, time to get ready for spiritual work. Gets out of his bed and stubs his toe. And in pain, curses by using the name of God. And God, who sees all, hears all, knows all, says, Max, you're fired. The Bible talks about wages. Our verse says, now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But the Bible also says that the wages of sin is death. If you want to work for God, you sin once and you're fired. It's done. No paper, no wage, no eternal life. The only earnings, so to speak, you'll receive is death, hell, and everlasting separation from God, from a holy infinite God, you cannot stand the sight of sin. The law was given to show the agreement between the employee and the employer. If you want everlasting life by earning it, you need to perfectly, completely, wholeheartedly obey the agreement. What is the agreement? I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's house. If you want a wage of righteousness, then as Leviticus 18:5 says, you shall therefore keep my standards, my statutes, and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And if you fail in any of these, then what James 2:10 says is true. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point is guilty of all. You're working for a holy, perfect God. This is how his business is run. If by working, anyone is going to have a relationship with God, experience the blessings of righteousness, earn the glorification of the body, establish an eternal home in heaven, get this paper, then you must work for it perfectly, without any failure, without any sin, without missing the mark. The wages of sin is death. So, getting back to our illustration, when Max is caught stealing some fresh cheese curds because they're just so delicious, he's fired. He walks home during the middle of Wisconsin's negative 50 degree below winter without a jacket because he didn't get any wage to buy one, is locked out of his apartment because he didn't pay his landlord, and sits down in the freezing cold. Turn back a chapter to Romans 3. Romans 3. And look at verse 20 and 23. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. And then down to 23. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So because of humanity's universal sin, there is absolutely, unquestionably, not one deed or work of God's moral law that will earn God's favor. Our good deeds will not outweigh our bad, even if that were possible. We are doomed without God's grace. There's no hope if the Bible stops at this verse. There's no hope. We're all Maximilians. But does the Bible stop at that verse? Look at verses 24 to 26. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of one who has faith in Jesus. So all of a sudden, Max feels a warm coat placed on his back. He looks up and he sees Charlie, his former boss, standing there. This, by the way, is called general grace or common grace given to all mankind. We'll look at that, Lord willing, in the weeks to come. But for now, Charlie says, I met the demands of the orders of cheese to uphold my business. My son came in and worked in your place with the understanding that the earnings would go to you. Come back to the factory and receive your gift. At this moment, the money that Charlie is offering to Max is no longer a wage. Wages are irrelevant at this moment. Not only does the Bible say that the wages of sin is death, but the verse continues with the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, God sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, to uphold His justice and offer us grace that we can receive freely. Timothy 1:9, God saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. It's not earned of works. We receive it freely as a gift. Titus 3:3-7, for we ourselves also were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward mankind came, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, having been justified by His grace, that we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. It's not earned of works. We receive it freely as a gift. John 1:10-13. He, that is Christ, was in the world, and the world was made through Him. Come to Sunday school, you'll find out. The world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, that is the Jews, and His own did not receive Him, but as many as received Him. Free favor for our reception, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were not born of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but born of God. It's not earned because of works. We receive it freely as a gift. It is at this point that separates Christianity from all other religions. They say, work this way, learn this, do this, adhere to these principles, and you will earn X in return. Fill in the blank, what is it? Christianity says, arise, my soul, arise, shake off your guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice on my behalf appears. Before the throne, my surety stands. Before the throne, my surety stands. My name is written on His hands. Grace is God's free choice to stoop down in Christ Jesus and show favor to sinful mankind, and it is undeserved by any of its recipients. There are myriads of people out there right now who are trying to earn God's favor. Myriads of people. It drives them day by day. They want paper. They want to boast. And it is an insult to God. He gave it as a free gift. How dare someone try to earn it? The only thing that we can do when we look at this, that it is free reception, the only thing we can do is embrace it. Embrace grace. You can remember that. It's easy. Embrace grace. If God's grace is free for you to receive, then take it. It's yours. It's free. take it by faith in Christ Jesus. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight itself in abundance. Don't try to earn that which has been given to you freely. Come to the riches of God's blessing for salvation and for sanctification and for glorification. It is all a gift purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is all a gift. This is true for the unbeliever as it is for the believer. The Bible says, just as you have received Christ Jesus, so continue in Him. When we come to faith in Christ, we're saved by grace. We continue sanctification by grace every moment of it. Not earned. You wake up and you receive God's grace and your soul will be delighted in abundance. That was earned by Christ, not you. You go to work and you pray before you step into that workplace and you ask for God's blessing to come to you and help you to be productive and be a faithful witness. And God says, yes, because it's grace. You're with your families and you're with other believers and you receive God's grace and you're able to show true love and be able to become a servant. Is anyone here trying to earn God's favor this morning? Anyone, I ask. Stop it. I mean that. Quit your job, so to speak. That is, quit working for that which you could never earn and come to Jesus freely. Receive His free favor and watch your life become transformed. Receive it. It's there. Even after salvation, the storehouse of gold is open. And God says, come, you can go and you can take as much as you want. And you take this money and you throw it to the side and you go into the storehouse and you receive all the riches that God has given you. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. When you come to Christ, you have a resource that is endless. God says, come to the bank. Write what you need on the check. It's endless. By the grace of God, we have access to the riches of grace found in Christ Jesus. And that is your inheritance. By faith in Christ, take it. Are you weighed down by sins? Are you weighed down by guilt? Are you weighed down by anxiety? Are you weighed down by fear? Are you weighed down by depression? God has grace for you that He wants you to take, not hesitantly. You don't walk up to God and say, I'm not sure. Are you sure? He wants you to take it boldly. Hebrews 4:12 to 13, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. God sees it all. He knows it all. He knows your secret struggles. He knows your secret sins. He sees it all. It's not hidden from Him. But what does He say in return? We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of God, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Come, you don't just come to God hesitantly, embrace grace. You know, you take it and you thank You. You come boldly. You run to the throne room of grace and you say, God, I need grace right now. And He says, here. God, I can't do this anymore. I'm struggling day by day with this. Right here, He says, here. It's yours. Take it. Don't just come to God hesitantly, come boldly. The other thing that we can learn from this is return grace. Do you ever find yourself where somebody has wronged you? And you kind of say to yourself, without saying to yourself, you kind of say to yourself, okay, now I have the right to withhold favor from them. I'm going to put this act that they did to me in the bank. And I'm going to wait for them to earn my interest in their lives again. For example, somebody gives you their word, and then they don't follow through, and then they forget about it completely. I've done it. Will you hold it in the bank and wait to show them love and concern until they pay you back? Or will you offer favor and interest in their lives freely? Because God offered you eternal interest freely. Just like the parable of the unforgiving servant. He owed the king, 10,000 talents. I don't even know what that translates to. I think a talent is a day's wage. I'm not sure. 10,000 talents. And he pleaded with the king, I will pay it back. I just wait. The king shows mercy. He says, I will cancel your debt freely. He takes it and he goes. And then this servant has another servant that owes him, I don't know, it was 100 denarii or something. Something so peanuts compared to the other wage. And the Bible says that he takes him by the throat and he says, you better pay me back. The Bible describes what happens to this man, that he's locked up, and the Bible says that God will do that to all who do not do otherwise. You can see the absurdity of it. Return grace to those who don't deserve it. In conclusion, we plan on looking at the fourth quality of what grace is next week. This is for others' perception. But I ask you, next time you look in the mirror, whether at night before you go to bed or in the morning when you wake up, look and see what God has chosen to be gracious to. Just look, pause for a few moments and say, Creator of heaven and earth, Lord, you chose to be gracious to that. I recommend doing it in the morning. I think there will be more of an effect. Most of us are probably scary looking in the morning. Listen to this quote by Robert M. Horn. From what the Bible says, it seems to me that we shall not know the full explanation of grace, even in heaven. And we've made an attempt. We have a trifold mirror in the bathroom, and you open up the two sides, it's cupboard, you open up the two sides and you see the reflection on either side of the mirror, and the more you turn it, the deeper the reflection gets. It gets deeper and deeper and deeper until at some point your nose hits the edge of the mirror and you can't see anymore, but you know it would keep going on forever if you could. The grace of God is like that. The reflection goes on forever. Even in heaven, I don't think we will fully understand. But listen to this. You look to the face of Jesus Christ, and you will begin to grasp what the grace of God is. God's unmerited favor. Grace is God's free choice to stoop down in Jesus Christ and show favor to sinful humankind. Is undeserved by any of its recipients, and is for the purpose of glorifying Him. All you need to do is take it. And watch in amazement how it changes everything. And I ask you, have you taken the grace of God for yourself? Have you taken the grace of God? You've come to the point when you realize I am a sinner. I've broken these moral laws that you've written. the contract that I was supposed to live by so that when I die, I come before your pearly gates and St. Peter welcomes me in because of my good deeds. I've tried, but I failed. Have you attempted? God is calling you now to take his free favor of salvation in Jesus Christ, and I say to you, come. Take it. By faith in his name, through his grace, you will be saved from your sin. You will be saved from the condemnation, from being fired. And you will receive eternal life and righteousness and a glorified body. And you will receive God himself into you by the Holy Spirit. I say, come, receive him. I'll close in prayer and take this time to come. Father in heaven, it doesn't take long meditation on your grace to realize how amazing it is. And I pray that you would stir up your children here this morning. That the meditation of your grace would so spur them on towards love and good deeds, to love one another, would so spur one another on to honor you in their lives, to spread the grace of God to the worlds abroad, to those who are without, that they may come in the delightful abundance, that those here this morning would take the grace of God as bread, and they'd see as a beggar, they'd say, I've got bread. And there's starving people out there. And you say to them, come. Come buy bread and milk without money. There's abundance here. So stir up our hearts here this morning, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
You can all take your hymnals with you once more to number 490.